Boise State opening the football season in Louisiana. That will be next Saturday. Local time kickoff, 10 o'clock. And, of course, you can hear it on your FM home for Boise State football right here on 93.1 The Ticket. It's the Bob and Chris Show. Mark Snyder sitting in for Chris, who will have Rocky Mountain football a little later tonight, 5:30 to be exact. They're playing over in Pocatello. And to help us with the Raging Cajuns is their beat writer from The Advocate in Lafayette, Tim Buckley. Tim, thanks for joining us today on the Bob and Chris Show.
My pleasure.
Well, Tim, why don't we start, first of all, with how folks are doing down there. We've seen a lot of pictures of flooding and houses, you know, being destroyed a little bit. Tell us a little bit about how things are now and maybe how things are around the stadium and the university.
Well, as far as the general area goes, there's still a lot of devastation around here. There's even some areas that are individual streets that yesterday were still flooded. Some people still with water in their homes just because there's nowhere for it to go. And then on top of that, you know, the usual Louisiana August daily rain comes, and that just kind of complicates matters a little bit. But there's some streets in this area here, and this was hard hit, but it wasn't even the hardest hit. That, of course, was over in the Baton Rouge area, about 60 miles from here. But around here, there's complete neighborhoods where there's nothing but rolled up carpet and ripped out drywall and appliances and couches and everything else that got ruined still sitting on the curb and on front lawns. You know, as people wait for FEMA to come in and help with the recovery, and people wait for insurance settlements, and it's a big mess. Now, all of that being said, the stadium area somehow was really not impacted at all. In fact, they played high school jamboree games at the stadium last night. They're doing the same tonight. They're not going to have any issues at all with the stadium, even though it actually sits below sea level. It's one of those sunken stadiums where the field is down into the ground. Cajuns did have, you know, they had a scrimmage plan that got pushed back a day. They ended up spending part of one of their days helping ripping out carpet and drywall and all that stuff as they went into one of the hardest hit communities around here, an area called Youngsville, and spent several hours helping a whole bunch of homeowners that have a mess on their hands. But as far as the game itself goes, related to the flood, should be no issue at all. There is one weather system that everybody's kind of keeping an eye on with fingers crossed that it doesn't come up this way, but that's something that won't be known for several more days.
Tim, was there ever any discussion about postponing or delaying this game as the first game of the year or any of the other contests due to the fact of the, you know, the crowds coming in, having to traverse the roads, the public safety folks are going to have to be out, the extra police and all the extra support services that are needed to stage a football game? Was there ever any discussion of just saying, you know, football game is a low priority?
No, none whatsoever. I think the date of the game relative to the occurrence was far enough apart that everybody was confident that they'd be able to pull everything out without any hitches. In fact, they're even before the storm, their biggest concern was just, you know, the heat of the day, making sure they got water stations set up for fans and all that kind of thing because of the kickoff time, which for you guys, like you said, is 10 a.m., but it's 11 a.m. here, and that means early in the afternoon, second half, you're going to be at the height of not only heat, but also in all likelihood, ridiculous humidity at that point.
Tim Buckley joins us. He covers the Louisiana Raging Cajuns for the Advocate and Advertiser down in Lafayette. Tim, what's the hottest part of the day? Here it's usually later in the day than that. Is 2, 3 o'clock the hottest part of the day there?
Yeah, a lot of times it is. And then the usual afternoon thunderstorm kind of comes rumbling in around 3:30 or 4, so that should be avoided, which is a good thing. And then after that thunderstorm comes in, it's usually like a steam bath for an hour or so. It'll early afternoon, fourth quarter. I would not want to be on that field.
So the thunderstorm, the biggest problem probably will be delaying the BSU charter back out of Lafayette.
Well, the good thing is, much like the Florida storms, they roll in and out pretty quick, okay. Typically, except when there was that horrible flood situation. And that was unbelievable. I mean, that whole system just stalled over here, and it rained and it rained and it rained some more and it rained and rained, and it didn't stop.
All right, Tim, let's get to football, something that we're going to be watching very closely on the third down there in Lafayette. Anthony Jennings transfers from LSU, one of the graduate transfers. Did not play for them much last year, got beat out. It was the start of the year before. What can you tell us about him? Have you seen him in camp? Have you seen him play for the Tigers? What can we expect from him?
Well, both. Have seen him in camp, have seen him play for LSU. Look, their whole offense is designed this year around Elijah McGuire, and whoever was going to be the starting quarterback for this team was kind of going to be the facilitator for that. And I think Anthony Jennings, you know, should be up to the task based on what I've seen, because this is basically how many creative ways can you get the ball to Elijah McGuire. Jennings is a dual threat guy. He's gonna fit the system that they intend to run, I think, much better than he fit the system at LSU. He's a rollout guy. He's pretty accurate on the underneath stuff. He seems to show a lot of poise. He's got a really quick release, quicker than any Cajun quarterback that I've seen, and I'm going into my sixth season covering him. He should be well suited to what they're doing, but this is not, you know, the quarterback savior from LSU who's gonna turn things around for the Cajuns after their 4-8 last season. This is the guy who's going to make an offense built around Elijah McGuire work most efficiently.
And McGuire is a guy that has been there for now. This will be his, what, third year starting? Sophomore year when the Raging Cajuns came here to Boise, he had a great year, but had really trouble running the football that day, caught a few passes for over 100 yards. What when you look at that game, because you were here for that game, what do they need to do that they couldn't do that day against the Bronco defense?
They struggled in every facet when they were up there. They played one of the most dismal games of the season, and that was really, I think, frustrating and somewhat embarrassing for them, because they had much, much higher expectations going up. I think the biggest thing is they have to find ways to get the ball to Elijah McGuire beyond the obvious, and I think you're going to see all sorts of possibilities. I mean, they've talked openly about you might see him lined up in the slot. Elijah McGuire's first touch as Cajun when he was a true freshman was in their opener at Arkansas, and they hit him on a 35-yard wheel route. He's got terrific hands. He actually, when he was a young guy, he played receiver, and he was a quarterback in high school. And if he makes it in the NFL, it's probably going to be with a running back with hands out of the backfield. And so I think they need to find creative ways for doing that, which they had a lot of problems with, both in that Boise State game, and they had a lot of problems with throughout last season when they were without Alonzo Harris, who was kind of their big bull back rushing up the middle, who went on to play a few games in the NFL last season with the Green Bay Packers before managing to get himself waived because he was the one who was spending a little too much time at night hanging out with Eddie Lacy. but we digress. They got to get creative getting the ball to Elijah McGuire.
Well, Tim, on the other side of the ball, when the Cajuns were up here a couple seasons ago, they did not see Brett Rypien. They did not see this version of the Boise State offense with this personnel. And pass rush last year certainly was an issue for Louisiana Lafayette. What have you seen so far in camp defensively that would lead you to think there'll be a turnaround for the defense for the Raging Cajuns?
Well, a few things. One is they signed seven JUCO transfers on defense. It looks like at least five of whom are going to play a whole lot right from the get-go. One of them is an off-the-edge guy by the name of Jarvis Jeffries, who is the Mississippi JUCO Defensive Player of the Year. And they had high expectations for him helping with that pass rush. But honestly, he's missed a lot of camp, and it looks like he's not even going to be on at the number one spot on the depth chart when it comes out. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how that plays out there. But four of the JUCO guys are on the defensive line, which they hope will help with depth issues because they had major depth concerns last season. And what they want to do is they want to be able to roll in a bunch of guys in and out so that their main guys up front, and they're two really big ones, DeForest Lee and Carmichael Dunbar, whose father was a longtime NFL assistant coach and now is the D-line coach at Alabama. They want those guys to be fresh in the fourth quarter, and that didn't happen a whole lot last season. So they hope those JUCO guys will help with the depth. And then three of the JUCO guys were defensive backs, and they feel like they got a whole lot more speed on the back end. They're basically going to be playing four safeties on the field. One of them, Tracy Walker, who is not one of the JUCOs, started at safety for him last year. He's kind of moved up to it's an outside linebacker position, but he's really kind of the dime guy, and you'll see him dropping back a lot. And the other is their nickel, who is going to be one of the JUCO guys. They're going to start two of those JUCO guys. And the third one of them is going to rotate in as a safety. And they feel with all of that, they got a whole bunch more speed on the field than they did last year.
Tim, thanks so much for helping us preview the Ragin' Cajuns. We'll see you down there next week and see if you can cool it off a little for us. See if you can give us a little less humidity and less temperature.
I'll see what I can do, but I don't have much pull in that or really much pull in anything, to be honest with you.
Tim, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Take care now.
And that is Tim Buckley, and he covers the Ragin' Cajuns. And I think that anytime you open in the South, hot and humid is what you have to expect Labor Day weekend.
And I would imagine, you know, the Cajuns' offense, they're going to probably pick up the pace and try and make those fourth quarter blues really, really wilt the Boise State crowd.
I think that's the biggest thing that you can't simulate. I know they've tried to turn up the temperature inside Cavin Williams and practice it, but it's not the same.
No, there's no way you can replicate the heat. You can replicate the humidity, rather, you feel like you've got a brick on your chest. You just can't breathe. That's going to be the fitness of the team is going to be probably the bigger story as this game rolls on.
Up next, we've got Broncos Sports Today. We'll focus in on running back Jeremy McNichols. He loved to have the same kind of game that Jay Ajayi did against Louisiana Lafayette 2 years ago when Ajayi had 150 yards and three touchdowns. He'll tell us what he's learned from his roommate Brett Rippon. That's next as we continue on the Bob and Chris Show on Sports Radio The Ticket. Welcome to Broncos Sports Today. I'm Bob Beeler. One of the big returning weapons is junior running back Jeremy McNichols. Last season, as a sophomore, he carried the ball 240 times from scrimmage and caught another 51 passes, giving him 291 touches for almost 1,800 yards. Because of all this work, the coaches are hoping McNichols can relax a little bit during the week.
I put a lot of work and time into this game just because I love it so much. Sometimes I feel like I can overwork myself a little bit. I do need to step away, but most of the time it is very hard for me to do that.
McNichols had a great season a year ago, leading the Mountain West in touchdowns with 26, and knows to get all of those yards and scores, he has had a lot of help.
But I give it all to the offensive line. They do the dirty work for me.
More with Jeremy McNichols when Broncos Sports Today continues.
Introducing T-Mobile's most epic deal ever. Get a free Samsung Galaxy with each line after 24-month finance agreement. And get 4 lines with 6 gigs of LTE data each for just $30 a line per month. That's right, a Samsung Galaxy and 6 gigs of data for everyone. Hurry to T-Mobile or call 1-800-T-MOBILE now.
Via bill credits over 24 months with qualifying rate plan on all lines. If you cancel wireless service, remaining balance at full price is due. Good credit required, plus taxes and fees. Up to 6 gigabytes data.
The Bronco Radio Network is proud to bring Bronco Nation exciting coverage of Boise State athletics. Catch all the coaches' shows live throughout the season, keeping you up to date on all the latest in Bronco sports. Don't miss any of the game day broadcasts, bringing you comments from coaches, players, and exciting play-by-play coverage of Boise State athletics. The Bronco Radio Network, heard on great stations throughout Idaho.
Welcome back to Broncos Sports Today. Jeremy McNichols was a second-team All-Conference player a year ago And looking at what he contributes to the Broncos, he could very easily be a first-teamer this season. But McNichols is more interested in having a better year as a team than last season.
That 9-4, I feel like we learned a lot. We changed some things this offseason just to, you know, give us a little extra motivation. We want to get back to that conference championship. We want to get back to that big bowl game. So that's just going to give us motivation.
McNichols' first season as a feature back coincided with Brett Rypien taking the reins at quarterback. Two are now roommates, and Jeremy says it has benefits being able to talk football all the time with Rypien.
Cool, just to be able to see like what he sees, and he knows our whole playbook like the back of his hand, and he knows how to read all those defenses. So anytime I have a question for him, I just go in and ask him, or what's the design of this play for? How do we beat this coverage? Just things like that.
McNichols gives the Broncos one of the best running backs around. Now finding a solid number two back as the season moves along will be something that'll be much needed. That's Broncos Sports Today. I'm Bob Beeler. It's a presentation of Broncos Sports Properties.
Always want to be a leader? We'll follow you. Follow us on Twitter at KTIK931FM. From the DataTel Studios, this is Sports Radio The Ticket.
We just heard from Jeremy McNichols, Boise State running back, that last year went for better than 1,300 yards on the ground and almost 500 yards on 51 receptions in the air. Bob Beeler. Mark Snyder filling in today for Chris Lewis. Chris getting set to do the Pleasant Grove Rocky Mountain High School football game tonight. You can hear on AM 1350 beginning at 5:30.
So both schools are road. It's a road game for everybody.
Yeah, it's a neutral side.
Neutral side game.
They have two games tonight over there, and I think there's three or four games tomorrow.
Yeah, that's pretty clever.
We are going to talk some college football, running backs in particular. We'd like to welcome Brad Weiss to the Bob and Chris show. He is with FanSided. You can follow him on Twitter at @bweiss. It's W-E-I-S-S 2330. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time, sir.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you came out with a list. Yesterday we had a list where somebody ranked every college quarterback, and Brett Rypien of Boise State came in at number 19. You've picked the 15 best running backs in the country, and Jeremy McNichols from Boise State checks in at number 14. What did you see in him that put him in this elite group?
I mean, Jeremy Nichols is obviously, you know, top 15 in the country. Yeah, that's true. But what he brings to the team, I feel what I did with these rankings, I didn't just try to dive into stats as much. I tried to look at what each player brings to their program. So when I look at a guy like McNichols, the way he ended the season, I mean, seven straight 100-yard games, and then he almost goes for 100 yards rushing and receiving in the Poinsettia Bowl. So, I mean, 26 touchdowns, incredible. I mean, it's going to be hard to repeat that this year. He's second in the country, but I see, you know, I just see him. He's got another great back in the conference, in Donnell Pumphrey. So, looking forward to maybe that being the Mountain West Championship game this year.
What do you think about the running back position as a whole? I remember when I was in college in the 80s, it was the time of people like Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson. Is the running back position less prominent than it was 15, 20 years ago, 30 years ago?
Well, I think it is, and I think it's a shame because I don't think the running back position gets as much love as it should. I mean, you look at the past almost 20 years, I think three running backs have won the Heisman Trophy. So, but I think these 15 backs that I listed here have a chance of doing something really special this year. And when I was looking at the quarter, you know, my colleague did a top 15 quarterbacks, and I was looking at that, and I was like, you know, there might be more talent at the running back position this year in the country than there's been in a long time. And I just think each one of these guys is going to bring something special every Saturday. And, you know, with McNichols obviously being one of the best backs in the Mountain West.
Well, Brad, it's interesting because you talk about the, you know, the quality of the running backs. A lot of people are saying that the Mountain West has pivoted from a quarterback league to a running back league. Obviously, you have Pumphrey there at San Diego State. McNichols, who didn't even make first team All-Mountain West selection, that honor went to Brian Hill from Wyoming. What do you see when you look at a league like the Mountain West where it's so heavy domination with some really quality running backs?
Well, I think when you take a look at that, I think the big wild card is going to be Boise State's quarterback. I mean, when you look across the board, you know, the school has a really nice opportunity this year to do something special. And I think in the article I talked about them running the table possibly, because when you have a guy like Rypien and, you know, you got a wide receiver like Spurbeck, I mean, the top players at those three key positions, I think are the best in the conference. So I think having those three guys is going to make Boise State the obvious favorite this year.
All right, you've got Donnell Pumphrey at six, and we're speaking with Brad Weiss. He is from FanSided. You can check out his article there about the 15 best running backs in 2016. Again, number six is Pumphrey. Number 14 is McNichols. When we look at your top, say, two, Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey, LSU, Stanford, respectively, how close are Pumphrey and McNichols to them, and what maybe separates those two guys from the real elite running backs?
Well, I mean, the Fournette-McCaffrey, that was one that it was really tough to judge. I mean, obviously, McCaffrey's coming off one of the best years ever of a running back in college football. But, you know, I put Fournette one because I feel like this is going to be his year. He almost ran for 2,000 yards last year. Ever since he was in high school, he's been touted as kind of the next big thing. So that's why I put him one. McNichols and Pumphrey, I think they play in a conference where they're really going to get the shine. I think as far as, you know, Boise State, you got a couple tough, you know, spots in your schedule there with Washington State and Air Force. I think those are going to be two pretty good games. But I think it's very close. And with Pumphrey, he's kind of like a shifty, speedy guy. But, you know, I was reading CBS Sports said he was one of the most irreplaceable players in the country this year. So, I mean, it can't get much better than that. And as far as McNichols, I mean, I think it's going to be a really special season for him. So it's very close, and McNichols could have easily slid right into my top 10. But, you know, the way it laid out and I looked at it, I put him at 14. But, I mean, there's a logjam there between, like, 6 and 14 that are really close.
Brad, you talked about Rippon and Spurbeck for Boise State and the potential that team has. How important or how much of a factor in your rankings and your evaluations were what that running back had around him, the supporting cast, where maybe the defenses can't key on one guy because somebody else is going to really hurt you? How important was that in your evaluation?
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely important. And I think going across the board, you can see, like at a place like Penn State with Barkley, that's a brand-new quarterback going in there after Hackenberg left. So, you know, as a freshman, he kind of took people by surprise, but I think they're going to be able to key in on him a little bit more. But going down this list, you know, eight with Wayne Gallman, they got one of the best quarterbacks in the country over there at Clemson. So, I mean, that's going to be it takes some of the pressure off him, but then he goes and sets a single-season rushing record last year for the university. So I do think it has a lot to do with it. I think McNichols is definitely going to benefit from having one of the best quarterbacks of any of these players on this list.
We're visiting with Brad Weiss from FanSided. Just recently wrote the article, College Football, the 15 Best Running Backs in 2016. I'm looking at your list of 15. If I'm not mistaken, every single one of those teams had a winning record and played in a bowl game. Is there somebody that almost made your list that's on a losing team, somebody that is a good running back that we should maybe know of that doesn't have much around him?
Really not in my list. I mean, the top 20 guys that I sorted down from 15 all came from pretty solid programs. So, yeah, I don't really have a name that might blow somebody out of the water this year.
How important in your evaluation of running backs, Brad, is the ability to come out of the backfield and catch the ball? Or are you merely evaluating them as a runner, get the ball, and just hit the line?
Yeah, and you know, that's what I think is great about college football is, you know, these running backs, they get an opportunity to really be a feature back. When you look at the NFL game, everything's based around, you know, passing, catching balls out of the backfield. You know, maybe one or two guys drafted in the first round at the running back position each year. So I think the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield is huge in the NFL game as well as the college game. But I think in the NFL, that's something that they need a little bit more than they do in the college game.
Brad, we want to thank you so much for spending a few moments with us. We appreciate it. Again, people can check out your article on FanSided. You've got Jeremy McNichols ranked number 14. We'll see maybe if he can scoot up your list if you do a postseason ranking.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
And that is Brad Weiss. We appreciate it. I just look at the running back position and think that back 20, 25 years ago, it was the running backs that overshadowed the quarterbacks. College football has changed, much like the pros, and the running backs sort of
devalued.
a little bit. Yeah, but as you mentioned, the Mountain West, it looks like it's the deepest position on the offensive side of the ball.
These things are cyclical, and maybe the cycle has come back around on the running back side. You know, he's got Christian McCaffrey number two. I think you and I have talked. I've, of course, being out here on the West, I saw a lot more of McCaffrey than I did Leonard Fournette from LSU, even though LSU was on everything all the time. I still think McCaffrey, he returns kicks, he returns punts. I mean, he would probably be your place kicker if you let him.
And I'm looking at number five, Nick Chubb out of Georgia. If Nick Chubb can play to number five, meaning he's coming back from injury as an alum, I will be very happy to see that.
Yeah, and then a kind of a sneaky number seven, a guy who's had lots of potential, but I think really hasn't realized it, is Royce Freeman there at Oregon. He can really be a key back and really can help the Ducks, especially with a new quarterback coming in again this year. I hate to say it as an Oregon State grad, but, you know, Freeman, but he was highly touted in high school in Oregon and just really hasn't, I think, hit that mark.
We'll see if he can do it this year. Again, with devastating floods in Louisiana, it's time to send some blue love to the Bayou. Let's show Louisiana that Idahoans care by donating to the Blue for the Bayou at our GoFundMe page at KTIK.com. Funds will go to the United Way of Acadiana to help those affected. Go to KTIK.com now and donate what you can. It's Blue for the Bayou from Sports Radio 93.1 FM, The Ticket. Your FM home for Boise State football. Up next on the Bob and Chris Show with Mark Snyder sitting in for Chris, it's Quick Hits. What's the worst name for a stadium, and what trade did the Dodgers make that they are hoping works out as well as one made after the deadline last year? That's next on the Bob and Chris Show on Sports Radio The Ticket.
Quick Hits with Bob and Chris. The topics other shows with Bob and Chris don't miss. Topic number one.
Mark Snyder sitting in for Chris. Mark, the Raiders have filed the trademark, the name Las Vegas Raiders. Does this signal that the team is going to relocate there?
I can argue both sides very easily. I think Mark Davis, like the old man Al, can look at the potential earnings and all that money rolling in. Cha-ching, cha-ching. But is Vegas a good place? A whole lot of people from other places. You don't really have a home field advantage. The money involved, a $2 billion stadium, was rolled out yesterday, and the casino folks say if they don't get $750 million in state or local money, taxpayer money to help it, they walk. I say the A's get a new stadium by the waterfront. Al Davis' son, Mark, gets the Coliseum site, builds a new stadium. The Raiders stay in Oakland.
We'll see. I don't think anything's going to be decided until after the election in San Diego to decide whether the Chargers get a new stadium or not. And then one of those two would have dibs if they want to go to Los Angeles. Still think a lot of things have to happen there.
Topic number two.
Okay, Bob, we look around. We talk about Las Vegas. Let's keep it in that area. Why do UNLV Athletics project a deficit for this school year?
Well, they've got no football guarantee game this year. They picked up better than a million last year going to Michigan. Next year, they've got Ohio State on the schedule in Columbus. And in 2018, they've got USC. But nobody liked that this year. They also are having trouble selling basketball tickets.
Wow.
Basketball tickets since the 12-13 season, when they sold 9,500 basketball season tickets, are down to 5,200 basketball season tickets. Revenues not getting as high this year as in the past.
Does Vegas lose the Mountain West tournament then down the road?
I think they do okay for the tournament. It's the regular season UNLV's having a little trouble with.
Topic number three.
Is the new name of the White Sox home park that's currently U.S. Cellular Field going to be the worst name ever for a stadium?
It's pretty darn close. Let's see. You got the Smoothie King Center, the New Orleans Pelicans, Camping World Stadium in Orlando, used to be the Citrus Bowl, Bojangles Coliseum in Charlotte, I like that one, the KFC Yum Center at Louisville, Sleep Train Arena where the Kings used to play, could go on and on. But yes, the White Sox new home, guaranteed rate field. And what's worse than the name is the logo. It's a red arrow pointing down. They're already calling it Guaranteed Loss Park or Low Interest Stadium. I think that might be the worst stadium name. But I will say, for a public venue, honorable mention, the 1-800 Ask Gary Amphitheater in Tampa, Florida.
In the Dodgers trade, they acquire Carlos Ruiz, hoping he'll be this year's Chase Utley, but they send the best friend, personal catcher of Clayton Kershaw, A.J. Ellis, back to the Phillies. Don't quite understand that one. Coming up in hour number two, high school football opens in the state of Idaho tonight. Mike Laclama, the statesman, helps us preview the opening of the season next on the Bob and Chris Show on Sports Radio The Ticket. Football season is here. High school football tonight. A lot of teams in action throughout the state of Idaho. Then next Saturday, it's Boise State at Louisiana. Fan Fest tomorrow at noon. You have a chance to watch a practice and get autographs with the team as they get you set for the conference season. So a lot of things going on. Mark Snyder, it's warm. It feels like summer, but fall is definitely here.
Still baseball season in my mind. A little too early for football, but you want warm. Wait till next week when you go down to the bayou.
Yes,
it'll be warm and sticky.
Well, let's talk a little about Boise State before we get to the high school season. We're expecting Michael Laclama to call us from the Statesman and help us with a preview of the start of the season. 1 week to go. I'm wondering where people think the biggest concerns for this team are going to be as we start the season. Fresh Never Frozen Domino's hotline, 424-9300. And, of course, the commercial tire text line is the same number, 424-9300. Or, of course, you can tweet us at Bob and Chris Show. Where are your biggest concerns or questions coming into the season? For me, it's on the defensive side of the ball. Our guest Brad Weiss was talking about how Boise State's got a lot of skill players back on offense. You got 4 out of 5 starters back in the offensive line. To me, I think they're going to go as far as their D-line and defensive backs carry them.
I agree, and I also think an issue is going to be just depth, overall depth. There's a lot of unproven kids in your twos and further down to your threes. And, I mean, we've talked all spring ball and fall camp. Who backs up Jeremy McNichols? Who's the number two guy? Who's going to be the backups on the receiving core? Who's, you know, Spurbeck's the man. We all know that, but who's behind him? So what happens if a guy goes down? Who backs up Rippon? You know, he got his starting job because of an injury. These things happen. If Rippon goes down, who can step up and be the guy to lead this offense? So I just think overall depth, Bob, is going to be the big question mark that I have. Whether it's offense or defense, I just think, you know, it's a lot of unproven talent. The talent's there, but they haven't been thrown in the fire yet.
Well, let's hear from a couple of particulars as far as what the season looks like, and we'll start with Ashley Ambrose. He is the defensive backfield coach. I think, to me, that's a group that kind of needs to come together. Had a chance to ask him the other day what he thinks his group needs to do to be good for the season.
I think the challenge is making sure everybody's on the same page. Everybody is, you know, it's working cohesively. So that really is the challenge, you know, making sure they can communicate and everybody knowing where they're going to be and they're talking ahead. That's the challenge.
I mean, I'm looking at the secondary, Mark. A lot of guys gone. A lot of interceptions gone. You lose Dante
talent.
Dion.
Yeah.
You lose Darian Thompson. Chancellor James has played quite a bit of football. Jonathan Moxie has played quite a bit of football. But the other corner spot and the other safety spot, a lot of new faces. Cameron Hartsfield might be in there. Dylan Sumner Gardner might be in there. Tyler Horton, Raymond Ford. Guys that are competing for the positions in the other spots. He's right. How many times did you see a big play, even against a good secondary last year, go for the other team? Communicating, talking, knowing where you are, knowing where I am, knowing what we're all supposed to do, I think it's going to be key, especially early in the season.
And I think Jonathan Moxie, I think, is going to be a big key to that because he got a lot of time last year. He's experienced, but he was the guy that other teams would target because of, you know, Darian Thompson and the folks who've left. So he kind of got picked on a bit at times, and he was where you would go to attack that secondary. Well, now he's in that role as the leader back there, and I think he's going to be really key to helping that unit be cohesive early on.
Bob and Chris Show, Mark Snyder sitting in for Chris, who's headed to Pocatello. He's probably there by now. You're listening to Sports Radio The Ticket, Bob and Chris Show here Monday through Friday, 1 to 3. Mark, I'm obviously close to the team. You follow things. Sometimes you can't see the forest through the trees. So I'm going to ask you the question.
Okay.
As somebody in town here, what are your expectations for the team? As somebody that, you know, follows the team, you know, pays attention, doesn't maybe see him day-to-day, doesn't go to press conferences. What do you think the 2016 season is going to bring?
Well, I think there's a lot of expectations. There's a lot of promise because you look at the big three. You look at Rippon, you look at Spurbeck, you look at McNichols, and those are the positions that people focus on. And so you look at that and say, well, they're set there. They're pretty good. But then you get in the trenches. The big uglies, as John Madden called them. What's the quality of the offensive and defensive lines? The average fan probably doesn't appreciate the nuances of playing those positions. So the expectations when you look at the skill positions is, well, this team's probably going to a big, you know, a Big Five bowl game. And I think the coaching staff has done a pretty good job of tamping down some of those expectations. I think one of the things that Boise State does a real good job with is they have internal goals every year, but they become external goals. They tell people what they are. So I think the expectation is, you know, win your conference number one, and everything else then takes care of itself. I think, though, fans here are expecting a Boise State-San Diego State, you know, title game in the Mountain West Conference with a winner going to a big-time bowl game.
We had Brett Rypien talking about expectations both for the team and for himself coming off a great freshman year.
I wouldn't necessarily say pressure, but I know there's a lot more expectations for our team this year, and you know, especially having a full year under my belt. You know, obviously teams know I have a lot, whole year film of me now, so you know I have to elevate my game because you know, teams are, you know, starting to pick on what my strengths and weaknesses are.
And I think that's interesting because he brings up basically the double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Because he's played for a year, people kind of know what he's good at and what he's not good at and what maybe you can do to maybe make him not as good. They rushed him a little harder. I'm thinking Air Force. I'm thinking New Mexico that rushed him a little bit more as the end of the season. Finished with just a bang with the bowl game. I mean, just a guy that I thought left the first season extremely good. I know he had a couple games that he wasn't as good as others. But I also think the fact that he played 10 games, excelled during those 10 games that he played, I think he's going to be even better this year. But it'll be interesting to see if if he can take it, what he's able to do to beat what they think he can't do.
Well, again, you talked about how he got rushed heavier. I'll be interested to see how he is in the pocket, and when that pocket breaks down, what does he do? Does he have the confidence and the ability to make a play with his feet, get out of trouble? Because, again, the offensive line, I think, is going to be key. And also, how much confidence does he have in his receiving core? Spurbeck is going to be the marked man all season long. Who steps up? Is it Chaz Anderson, who we know can burn people deep? He's got world-class speed. But can he be consistent and help out his quarterback? But I think you're right when you talk about Rypien. I mean, he's smart. He knows the bloodlines are there. This kid, you don't leave high school early to start your college career early and get immersed in game film and playbooks that, you know, without having an aptitude for that.
They've talked about working with him a little quicker release, mm-hmm. getting the ball out earlier. He was sacked 20 times. Yeah. 13 of them were in the three losses.
Yeah, that's too many times. So that's what I'm going to kind of key on, is how does he stand against intense pressure? Can he make the play? Can he avoid the sack? You know, he doesn't have to throw. It doesn't have to be a 20-yard game, but can you avoid the negative yardage? That, to me, is going to be important.
And then a lot of faces, really for anybody in college football that's new, playing their first game, it's a bit of a challenge. Coach Harsin talked about what it's like for a guy in his first game on the field.
I think just trusting your preparation, that's probably the biggest thing. And you get out there. The one thing that you want to try to build these habits where when your natural instinct takes over, you're not out there and just get geeked out and just start running around and you're not trusting your technique or your preparation and the guys around you. I think the biggest thing is making sure you're, one, you're able to do that, but two, you know, trust the guys around you to do their job. And if somebody makes a mistake, you keep doing yours. Eventually they'll find, they'll correct it. And not trying to do too much as a young guy or a new guy that gets out there and play in your game. And I certainly think that we've done a really good job of that as coaches, of keeping those guys pretty consistent. That's one thing I've been happy with through camp. I think our guys have been consistent when they played. Now, you get in front of 37,000 people, all right, and they're yelling at you. That's what we're preparing for. Practice is not for the good days, all right? It's for those rough days and tough crowds. And, that remains to be seen until we go play.
There'll be somebody in the game in Louisiana, Mark, that we haven't heard too much, that I think when the game's over, you're going to say, wow, that guy had a good game. Don't know who it's going to be, don't know what side of the ball, but there's always somebody in that first game that's sort of a breakthrough guy.
And that's, I think, a natural when you go into a season with, you know, so many question marks still. But I think what that's the product of, Bob, is Boise State is a history. This coaching staff, previous coaching staffs, their kids are ready. They really get them all on the same page. They get them to the point where, yeah, if somebody gets hurt, it's the cliche, the next man up. but it really is the case. I don't think anybody's going to be more prepared going to a game than Boise State. That doesn't mean they're always going to win. That doesn't mean the opponent's, you know, not going to play better. But when it comes to knowing your responsibility and knowing the guy next to you is going to do his job too, you know, I think that's where Boise State wins games when they get off the bus.
If you're an early riser, be sure to tune in to Sports Radio The Ticket next Saturday. That's September the 3rd, bright and early. I'm not so sure how bright it is at 5 a.m., but maybe you can tell us if you're up that early to hear Jeff Caves live from Louisiana. Dave Harbison will be in studio, and it's Bronco game day. And if you get up a little bit later, be sure to join me for the kickoff at 10 o'clock. That's all on Sports Radio The Ticket, your FM home for Boise State football. More of the Bob and Chris Show. Mark Snyder sitting in today for Chris as he's getting set to do high school football tonight. That's coming up next on Sports Radio The Ticket. Bob and Chris Show, Sports Radio The Ticket. Football is here. Preseason, the NFL has been going on. High school football starting tonight in Idaho, Pleasant Grove, the opposition for Rocky Mountain. And Mark Snyder is sitting in for Chris, who's going to broadcast that game. You said it's Pleasant Grove's second game. That's going to give them an advantage.
They won last week, 19-16, and they were a quarterfinalist last year in Utah's second largest high school classification. So Rocky's going to have their hands full trying to defend their state title on the road at Holt Arena.
And for people who are interested in college football, tonight at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, you can watch the Hawaii-Cal game from the Olympic Stadium in Sydney. They're expecting 65,000 for that game. Mark, I said the other day that I don't think they would have gotten 65,000 either Honolulu or Berkeley.
No, certainly not. That'll be a lot of folks down there, down under, watching American football. It'll be interesting to see what their knowledge is. Obviously, the NFL, I mean, you look at the guys from Australia who come play in the NFL. Primarily, it's kickers, punters, you know, maybe a lineman here and there. Running back, the 49ers had a guy who played last year and went back to Australia. So it'll be very interesting to see what the knowledge base is of the crowd. Will they appreciate the subtleties and the differences of American football versus either Aussie football or rugby?
Besides the money in action, and I'm sure that it was very expensive to get both teams there, Hawaii, right, the closer of the two teams, but I saw where Cal had a 15-hour flight down to Sydney for the game. It seems, reading stories and hearing with what people are talking about, this seems like a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
The teams have been down there all week. You see pictures of them in the ocean, see pictures of them doing things with koalas and kangaroos. If you're a coach, you want to start the season with like a bowl game?
I think you can look at it both ways. I think it's a nice reward for putting in the work in spring ball and putting in a good camp. And maybe it's a motivation to say, you played this way, this is our first of the season bowl game. Now let's remember that feeling. So at the end of the season, we're playing in a bowl game on U.S. soil. So I think the negative could be it's more of a holiday and a vacation and players don't focus. I think the positives outweigh that by saying, remember that feeling. That's the carrot dangled at the end of the stick.
And then Hawaii and Cal get to open this week because they're going to Australia.
Right.
And the idea was that both would have next week off to kind of get themselves back into the swing of things on campus, et cetera. The only problem is Hawaii needs a paycheck from Michigan. And they already had a game scheduled at the Big House that Michigan didn't want to move or couldn't move. So Hawaii is not only going to have to come back to Honolulu, they're going to have to go to Michigan and play a game in the Eastern time zone next week.
But the only thing good about that is if they get to keep their frequent flyer miles. Because they're going to be roadkill for Harbaugh's team there, especially coming off, that kind of travel. I mean, travel's always a challenge for UH. You know that better than anybody, Bob. So the travel is always a factor. But, to have to fly to Honolulu for a couple days, do your laundry, and then head to Michigan. About the only thing positive for Hawaii is it probably won't be snowing this early in the season in Ann Arbor.
No, the weather probably should be decent. Yeah. I guess it could be a little warm even, but probably not warm as compared to Honolulu. Certainly probably not as humid as it is in Honolulu.
Probably not.
So we'll get a chance to see Hawaii and Cal. And, you know, from reading things about the Bears, they were 8-5 last year. I think their goal is probably to put another winning season on the board under Sonny Dykes. Pac-12 last year, Mark, a conference that did not get a team into the playoffs They were the Power 5 conference that was left out last year. The Big 12 was left out in the first year of the college football playoff. Pac-12 going to get left out again this year? Or are they going to have one of the best conferences in the country?
Well, I think there are five teams that could win the Pac-12 this year. And Stanford, Oregon, Washington, and then the L.A. schools, UCLA and SC, are all, I think, probably the elite schools. And the way the Pac-12 has played, they beat each other up so badly, they don't look so good in the eyes of the national, the pollsters and the playoff committee. I would like to think that some of the individual star power that the Pac-12 has, and the Christian McCaffrey from Stanford we talked about, the Jake Brownings from Washington, the fact that SC is always a brand name and a draw, might help out when it comes time to making those decisions. But, it's tough because literally with the exception of probably Oregon State and maybe Colorado, anybody can beat anybody any week. I think Oregon State and Colorado clearly are going to be fighting it out for the cellar.
Looking at some of the prognostications of who they like, you see some people that like Washington. You see some people that like Stanford. The one that came out today on CBS has Stanford going to the winning the Pac-12 and being the team that's left out of the college football playoff. I think you're right. Both USC and UCLA are expected to be good. I think Utah's actually supposed to be good. The team I question this year, and they may end up winning the league, and I think it's probably important that they have a good year, are the Ducks.
Yeah.
I think the Ducks have been kind of sliding a little bit since the Kelly/Helfrich handoff. They have not been quite as dominant. Last year they played in the Alamo Bowl. They are going with the second year in a row, a graduate transfer coming up from the FCS level in Prukop. I'm not so sure what Oregon has this year.
I think Oregon is a question mark, and I think if I was in Tempe, I'd be a little concerned about ASU. They always start out great, and then they seem to just peter out at the end. And I think Arizona State could be another one of those schools that if they don't do something really solid this year, win the South, or be very competitive in the South, they're going to be trouble. But they have the only quarterback coming back that has never thrown a college pass. So ASU's in trouble. But I agree with you, Bob. Oregon, Helfrich's seat may be getting a little hot under those tail feathers.
Looking at the conference, they play the ninth conference game. There's only three out-of-conference mm-hmm. games. Less chance for a freebie in there.
Yep.
And I think that's why Washington may have gone for three pretty soft non-conference games. I think Rutgers is their hardest game. All three of them played in Seattle. Stanford, I know, has a tough schedule because they play Notre Dame as one of their non-conference games. So that one will be a challenge. USC playing both Notre Dame and Alabama. If USC can get to the college football playoff, they really will have earned it. They may have the toughest schedule in the country.
And don't sleep on a team we'll see down here, the Cougs. Mm-hmm. Washington State, Mike Leach's quarterback, Luke Falk, can just throw the ball all over the yard. They, the top receiver is back, over 1,100 yards and 15 touchdowns. So I really think the Cougars, this might be the year they progress from mid-tier bowls to something a lot higher. Question always in Pullman's going to be the defense.
And it always has been with Mike Leach teams, even when he was at Texas Tech.
Yeah, yeah.
He spends his time on the offensive side of the ball, and that team is going to be loaded on the offensive side of the ball. Luke Falk back at quarterback, number of receivers. I think Boise State's defense is going to be extremely tested in week two.
That will be a very fun game to watch out at Albertson Stadium.
I think the loser is going to have close to 40.
Probably. The over-under, if you're into those sorts of things, mm-hmm. will be very high for that game, if you're right. Because, both offenses, they're coming off of, probably easy, not-so-challenging wins in their openers. Yeah, Washington State and Boise State, there'll be a lot of footballs flying that day.
And when you evaluate teams and look at how they can go possibly to the college football playoff, so much is your schedule. Mm-hmm. Not only do you have to win your league, but do you have a couple of nice, gaudy non-conference wins that could help you? I mean, if USC could somehow knock off Alabama next week to open the season, what are they, about 18, 17, something like that in the polls? Mm-hmm. They're going to jump up in the top 10 with a neutral site win against Alabama.
Yeah, no question. And, Alabama is Alabama. They're going to come in and, they're playing in Dallas, right? Jerry World? Is that it? Mm-hmm. Jerry World? SC, it's essentially going to be a road game. Down in Texas, even though Alabama's a lot closer. I just think that Clay Helton, this is his first full season there at SC. You know, I think he's going to have things grinding out. Yeah, that Alabama game is going to be one to watch. And SC also, you know, I think they're going to want to really put the heat. I think the heat's on SC because now the Rams are in town.
Mm-hmm.
And there's now competition for that football fan's attention. The Rams are going to get all the spotlight. And SC is going to want, I think, subconsciously remind folks they're relevant and the Coliseum is their house first.
And I'm not so sure that SC is the best college team in the city either.
No, you're at UCLA. Josh Rosen, a quarterback, really shined last year. Another young quarterback. So I think you're right. UCLA, USC, that game for all the marbles in LA, it'll go a long way on the South Division race.
I mean, you look at that's at the end of the season. Boise State Air Force at the end of the season. Yep. The Mountain West, I think, gambling that they think that's going to be the game for all the marbles. And then I think Boise State fans probably think that the game in the first weekend of December, probably Boise State, San Diego State for the championship.
That's right. It'll be, it's so weird. We're talking about the end of the season right now, and we haven't even kicked off the season. But that's, I guess, what makes college football so much fun.
And we've got a text from ZG Rogan. I'm not sure if that's how he wants to be, or maybe it's Z Grogan. So maybe he can text us back and tell us how he wants to refer to him. But he is a big Oregon State guy. He says if Oregon State continues to improve, it's going to be like for the next 2 years from now. So he thinks the Beavers are headed in the right direction.
You'll enjoy your trip to Corvallis.
Okay.
And I think the trip back for Boise State will be very pleasant because I really think the cupboard is still a little bare. But I will say for Gary Anderson – he has been able to really score some good recruiting. But, again, that's next year, the year after. He is recruiting better. I just think it's a tough turnaround right now in Corvallis, and I agree with our texter that it's going to be a couple years away. So when Boise State hosts Oregon State in a few years, that'll be a much more competitive contest.
Pick in the Pac-12?
I like Stanford.
I'm going to take the Bruins.
Could be. I think, see. It'll be close. But I like McCaffrey.
I do, too. I think he's a guy that may be as good as anybody in the country. But there's just something about the Bruins this year for me, and maybe I'll be fooled and thinking that Jim Mora is going to take that South Division. But we'll see.
Their defense, just too many holes last year, almost 200 yards a game rushing, and I'm just not convinced the defense can do it.
Up next, the high school football season begins tonight. The Statesman's Michael Laklama will help us preview who will be good team-wise, what players we want to keep an eye on this year, and more. That's next on the Bob and Chris Show. Mark Snyder sitting in on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Opening of high school football in Idaho. Bob and Chris Show. Mark Snyder sitting in for Chris, who will be on the call of Pleasant Grove and Rocky Mountain from Holt Arena over in Pocatello. That'll come up tonight at 5:30. On AM 1350. Michael Laklama covers high school sports for the Statesman. Michael is plugged into all the teams. Mark's calling a game tonight. You've got, mm-hmm. CUNA and Bishop Kelly,
CUNA
Mark?
CUNA and BK, yeah.
Michael, what game are you going to be taking in tonight?
I'm actually going to be in the office big weekend. We got 25 games here.
Wow.
Someone's got to be in the office kind of round everything up, kind of keep track of all the stuff that's going on.
So, all right, as we look at the season that's getting ready to go, Rocky Mountain, the defending champs. A lot of teams down here have been very competitive, very good. Who looks like they're going to be the teams to keep an eye on this year?
Well, the 5A level, you still kind of have the four, powerhouses that we've had these last couple of years. And I mean, that starts with Rocky Mountain, Eagle, Mountain View, and Capitol. Those are still the four teams that are basically miles ahead of everyone else in the 5A conference. And how those four shake out is probably the one that are up for grabs. I mean, in my personal opinion, I would start with Mountain View at the top. I think they just got so much coming back, especially from the defense. They put up beyond 70 points offensively. Everyone forgets about their defense, which brings like 8 starters, which is the top defense in the state. And then, Eagle brings back, 13 total starters. Rocky Mountain brings back its entire offensive line full of a couple Division I guys. And, Capitol's always powerful. I mean, any one of those four teams should be hard to pick against.
And Michael, you talk a little bit about Eagle and what they have coming back and where they sit in the whole scheme of things. It'll be a great game next week when a traditional power from the east side of the state, Highland, comes over from Pocatello to play at Eagle. Is that a playoff preview?
That could be. I mean, Eagle's got a tough road to start here. I mean, they go to Mountain View tonight, and then, like you said, there's few programs in the state. I'd argue no program in the state that is consistently as dominant as Highland is over Pocatello. And they're producing, a couple of Division I guys every year. They got a junior defensive lineman who's got offers from BYU, Oregon. I mean, that's just a factory coming over there. So depending on where, teams finish the regular season, that's a quarterfinal, semifinal, state championship matchup possibly.
So now you mentioned four teams in the Treasure Valley area that seem to be good in the 5A. How much depth is there? Are there other teams that can knock these teams off, or is there going to be a sort of a first division and a second division?
Well, as you sit here today with not a single snap playing, I would say those there would be a first division with those four teams, and then I would say the depth of the conference is a little bit down this year. I mean, last year you had teams like Timberline and Boer that kind of popped up and weren't able to beat them, but were able to push them and threaten them. I mean, those two programs will probably take a little bit of a step back with some of the graduation losses and Bora with a new first-year coach coming in. I think those four teams, as of right now, with zero high school football played, are miles ahead of everyone else.
The structure, kind of the format, they call them pods, and I've never quite understood how they classify and divide teams up, but they did make some more changes this year. You know, Nampa and Columbia were added last year or a couple years ago to the SIC, the Southern Idaho Conference. Realign this year, CUNA moves up a level to 5A. When you look at all the movements, it's almost like a college football conference realignment. When it all shakes out, does that give this side of the state an advantage when it comes to postseason and bursts? Is it heavily more weight to the Southwest?
Yeah, I mean, there's 12 teams in the Treasure Valley, and then there's four up north, and then there's five or six in the east. So, I mean, the playoffs are definitely weighted to the Treasure Valley because there's far more teams over here. I mean, you get the top three in each of the pods go, and then there's one at-large berth. So we could possibly have seven of the 12 teams from the Treasure Valley qualify for the playoffs. And then your pod, and the champions of the pods are divisions, like they call them. I've never cared about that term, pods, but they get the buys and sort of the conference champions from the east and the north.
Michael Laklama joining us. He covers high school football for the Statesman. Michael, we've talked about teams, haven't mentioned any names. Who are some of the names we want to pay attention to this season? Are there some quarterbacks, some running backs, some guys on the defensive side of the ball that we need to be knowing who they are to watch out for?
Well, I mean, you have to start with Tucker Rovig, the quarterback in Mountain View. He's already committed to Montana State, big arm kid, can really, attack teams down the field. And he's actually, he's a big, tall, 6'4" kid. He's actually surprisingly athletic. He's one of those guys that doesn't really run a whole lot, but we're probably going to see a little bit more of that this year if I believe some of Mountain View's preseason stuff. But some of them, the biggest names coming out of the Valley this year, and it kind of seems to be a trend around the area year in and year out, is offensive linemen. This area seems to produce a lot of Division I caliber offensive linemen. I mean, you look at even Boise High, has a guy named John Ojoku, offer from Boise State. Rocky Mountain has several guys, Zach Reds, Connor Woods, that are, Big Sky type offers. Even Columbia, which has struggled 24-game losing streak, has a Big Sky offensive lineman, Brandon Kipper. I mean, that seems to be what Idaho is known for, and especially what the Treasure Valley is known for, is he's producing these, big 6'5", 280-pound in a high school offensive lineman.
The coaching in this part of the Valley at the schools you mentioned, primarily, there are exceptions here and there, but there's a lot of consistency. A lot of the same names are coaching. They've been there for quite a while. Tim Brennan back with BK. Scott Kreiner's, well known, the Kreiner family in the Valley. You look at Capital High School, phenomenal, 13 years in a row winning records, only six losing records in something like 51 years. What are they doing up there at Capital High School that continues that consistency? And do you see it obviously paying off again this year?
I mean, like you said, the big thing is just consistency. I mean, a lot of these programs are, turnover coaches every couple of years. I mean, it's hard to build a program and build a long-term success when you're, it's kind of the old saying, when you change, you lose. I mean, that is true, especially at a high school level where the continuity building down to, youth programs is so important. I mean, Capital, I think, has had, don't quote me, it's about maybe six, seven coaches in its 50-plus year history. I mean, that matters. When you have guys that are there for 10 plus years, you get a coaching staff, you know what you want to do. You don't have to teach kids, this is the plays they're running. You can focus more on how to do it. And then, looking at Capital, so you can't ever dismiss the factor of open enrollment in the Boise School District. Anytime a kid who's an eighth grader is coming into high school or, they're going to, and they think they're a football player, they're going to try to get into Capital.
Mm-hmm. Quick question. You know, you hear all the legendary stories of high school football in Texas, and, you know, they have 30,000 seat stadiums, multi-million dollar stadiums. It's a big deal. What would you tell the casual sports fan who maybe doesn't have a child who goes to that school, or a son who's a football player, or a daughter who's on the cheerleading squad or something, but the casual sports fan, what's the atmosphere like? Why would somebody unaffiliated with a school want to spend a Friday night at Donna Larson Park, for example?
I would say, I mean, we're in a world of, you know, 21st century entertainment. Obviously, you've got Netflix and everything you do. You can obviously stay home, go to the movie and anything, but you're never going to find a better value. I mean, you could pay $6 to get into a high school football game and be entertained for 3 hours. I mean, you're never going to beat that value. And like you said, it's not Texas. It's not California. It's not Florida. We're not producing, you know, 100 Division I kids a year. But there is surprisingly better football than people realize in the state of Idaho. Like, so the Treasure Valley normally produces about 5 to 6 Division I football players a year. We're probably looking at maybe, what would that number up to, maybe like 7, 8, 9 this year. I mean, there's better football out here than people think.
Michael, thanks so much for visiting with us. A lot of good games tonight. A lot of teams that are local going against one another. There's going to be some good action going on tonight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, week one, we're starting out with just tons of rivalries. You know, Eagle, Mountain View. I mean, it's just a giant week. There's no easing into the season this year.
Thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that's Michael Laklama of the Idaho Statesman looking at the games tonight. Eagle Mountain View, as he mentions, Capital Bora, they'll be playing at Donna Larson Park. Meridian will be at Centennial. Rocky Mountain, a game you can hear on AM 1350 with Chris Lewis against Pleasant Grove of Utah. That takes place down at Idaho State. That'll be tonight at 5:30. Boise, and I'm looking at this school, and I realize it's the new school,
right?
Ridgeview, that right. They'll be taking. That'll be their first game ever. Game you'll be having, CUNA at Bishop Kelly.
Mm-hmm. That'll be longtime rivals now. CUNA's moved up to the 5A ranks. So, and Bishop Kelly, we all know the track record that the Knights have and traditional state power.
So give us a bullet for Esai. What do you expect from CUNA? What do you expect from Bishop Kelly?
Oh,
tonight?
Boy. I just think CUNA is going to struggle. I think BK, the machine, just keeps grinding along, and I would be very surprised if they don't, you know, win tonight against the Cavemen. CUNA is going to struggle, like I said, in the early going and as they move up. But they have a long-time rivalry with BK. So, you know, it's a rivalry game to start the season instead of the end of the season. But I just think the Knights are just going to be a little too strong.
The great thing about having some good games early in the season, everybody thinks they have a chance to
That's
win
right.
tonight. The first
That's
game
right.
of the season, teams are probably going to be at their healthiest. It's going to be a warm night out there, but not awful tonight.
No, and you want a rivalry. Caldwell and Nampa play for the 111th time tonight.
Wow.
That is a rivalry. That'll be fun to watch. The Battle of Canyon County.
Caldwell-Nampa, 111
years. Yeah, 111 years. This will be their, yeah, I mean, that's just phenomenal. You don't see that. That's one of the longest probably anywhere.
That's the sound of the radar. Time for What's on Our Radar here on the Bob and Chris Show on Sports Radio The Ticket. Coming up tonight at 5:30, well, if you're listening on the FM side of the dial, you will hear the complete Idaho Sports Talk with Caves and Prater. But at 5:30, if you're listening over on AM 1350, they'll break away to have live coverage of Rocky Mountain and Pleasant Grove. That'll take place at Holt Arena at Idaho State. One of the better teams in Utah takes on one of the better teams in Idaho. A great first matchup. Chris Lewis again has the call. 5:30 on 1350 AM. Mark, you've got a game tonight yourself that you're doing online, video online with CUNA and Bishop
CUNA
Kelly.
CUNA and Bishop Kelly over at Bishop Kelly at Isursa Field. Should be a lot of fun. Great night for football. Ignore the little smoke in the air and come on out and check out some high school football.
So what's on your radar tonight, this weekend? I mean, it's the last one before Boise State football. So for me, the last one for about, I don't know, counting the basketball season, probably about 5 months of every weekend, it seemed like there's a game.
So on your radar is chores around the house.
Yes.
The honey-do list.
Yes.
Got to get it completed because you got a deadline. I just think the start of football season, high school football, you know, not so much gearing up for the third week of preseason in the NFL, but I just think even if fall's not in the air, the footballs are in the air, and that's always a good thing.
And we both reveling in the Giants' win last night. They've been few and far between since the All-Star break. Giants may have a chance to move back ahead of the Dodgers. The Giants need the Cubs to continue their torrid and record-setting pace. They're playing the Dodgers tonight in Los Angeles. And the Giants are hosting one of the worst teams in the National League, the Atlanta Braves.
That would be nice to see a sweep of the Braves. And then the Giants have a road trip after that. They have to go to Chicago and take on the Cubs at Wrigley. So it'd be nice to stock up a few wins this weekend against the Braves.
And then we've got Boise State's Fan Fest. That'll take place tomorrow. It's free. Parking is free. Admission is free. Starts at 12 o'clock. You'll watch a practice, and then you'll be allowed down in the blue to, I'm sure, get autographs, take some pictures. So a very nice afternoon plan that's in replacement this year of the summer scrimmage or the fall scrimmage, whatever you want to call it. I know a lot of schools have this type of an event at Georgia. I know they've done it for years, ever since I was a student. And, you know, you can line up and get your picture taken with whoever you want on the team, assuming you can move through the line fast enough. Ugga the dog is always the most popular one to get the picture taken.
Well, he's the only guy that's there every year.
Yeah. Well, it's not always the same.
It's not always the same, but it's still Ugga the bulldog. Gates A, D, and P open at noon tomorrow out at Albertson Stadium. So that's where you want to go in and get your free posters of the team there in front of the Hall of Fame there as you head into the stadium.
And get your first look at the 2016 Boise State football team. Jeff Caves in studio. Jeff and Mike Prater will be taking over in a matter of minutes. Jeff, you've got your USC football shirt on. Are you trumpeting? We made our Pac-12 picks. I took the Bruins, and Mark took Stanford. Are you going to weigh in on the Trojans for the Pac-12?
Eventually, but you know, until I see the quarterback, playing against Alabama would be a pretty good start. I think UCLA's got maybe one of the best quarterbacks in the country, and Stanford has one of the best teams in the country, and certainly I think the best running back in the country, and hopefully he'll get a chance, if not win the Heisman Trophy. But we won't talk about that necessarily today. Boise State running backs, you talked about running backs, Jeremy McNichols, and how Jeremy stacks up against Doug and Jay Ajayi in their first couple of years and his development, what we may expect out of him this year. And we'll talk more about this situation with Dylan Sumner Garner from Boise State with Dave Southern and what we may or may not have happen for him on the opener. So we'll go a lot of directions, plus check in with Chris from Pocatello coming up here in just about 10 minutes.
And then, Jeff, next week's going to be a short week, getting ready for the opener and leaving to go down to Louisiana, where we know one thing, it should be hot and humid down there.
That's going to be hot and humid, but it won't be a short week. I'll be live from New Orleans at the Cumulus Stations Thursday, and then with you at the Lafayette Boise State Team Hotel on Friday. Well, we don't believe in days off.
No.
There is no such thing.
Snyder, you sacrifice for us, and we appreciate that.
No, it's not a sacrifice. No, well, there's no options here. We'll work 7 days a week until after the Super Bowl. If it's work, I mean, that's another question. But hopefully the weather will be good, and we'll be able to get there and back.
Jeff, I heard that you're in line maybe for an upgrade at the hotel in New Orleans like I had in Las Vegas. Is that true?
Right, yeah. I don't think so. They saw you coming. That was the most concerning thing. When you walked through the door and they said, Mr. Beeler, good to see you again. We have an upgrade to a 1,200-square-foot suite for you at the Cosmopolitan Hotel, where nothing good happens. It goes home. Very concerning.
Jeff, thanks. We'll be tuning in today. Look forward to your discussions on running backs and comparing McNichols with Martin Ajayi. And Boise State's had a pretty good run of them. Go back to Ian Johnson. He's on the morning grind. He and Jake. No, there's been a lot of great running backs. You think of some of the quarterbacks in some of the other places, but this is Brock Forsey.
This is
Cedric Minter.
Yeah, I mean, they turn them out, but somehow they never call Boise State running back you.
No, they don't. Maybe they should.
Maybe they should.
Mark Snyder, thanks for filling in. Enjoyed working with you today. Chris will be back as we get you ready for Louisiana and Boise State. That'll be Monday, coming up at 1. Caves and Prater, Idaho Sports Talk next. Keep it tuned right here to Sports Radio, The Ticket.